there's so much trust and safety to be who you are so that you can actually get the support that you need. There's just this deep truth in wanting to support first.
Welcome to the Ripples of Radical Generosity podcast by Coralis, a global community of women and non-binary people making real progress on the world's to-do list. Together, we're transforming the world to become more equitable and sustainable.
Well, we are so excited to have Mayumi Young here today with us at our Coralis podcast. She is the founder and CEO of CPA Moms and a 2023 Coralis venture. And Mayumi, tell us a bit about CPA Moms for those who may not be familiar.
Thank you for having me. CPA Moms is the first and currently only CPA franchise. We are supporting professionals who want to be CPAs and moms to start and have their own virtual accounting and tax practice throughout the U.S.
And you recently had a win, a significant win in the accounting industry. Can you share with us a bit about that as well?
Sure. I was recently voted as one of the top 50 women in accounting, which is, you know, an extraordinary honor. There's probably over, I don't know, I would say a couple million professional women in the accounting space. And to be recognized as somebody who has influence and actually cares about women in the accounting industry is quite an honor. And so I'm just thrilled and grateful that I've been recognized.
That's so exciting, Mayumi. I'm sure very well deserved. So tell us a bit about your background and why you started CPA Moms. What was the impetus?
I did start as a CPA myself, and I watched what I call the one-way revolving door of women in our profession. I worked in a big six at the time, now big four, a public accounting firm, and women who would go on maternity leave would, in essence, not come back. And it was really obvious as somebody in the industry how unbalanced it was. And it really, the experience, and I think this is still the case, unfortunately, for a lot of professionals, is that you had to choose between either your career or being able to have a family. And so that sort of seeded the idea. And much later, I had an opportunity when I was coaching a professional CPA who was returning back to work after being a stay-at-home mom for about 8 years or 9 years. And I was supporting her around that process. And I realized that there was really a need here. And so I was working with a lot of entrepreneurs as well as coaching. And I saw this perfect marriage between up-leveling the type of professionals that entrepreneurs would actually be able to work with, while also simultaneously solving the problem that I saw was still unsolved in the marketplace around professional working moms. I wanted to create a model that allowed professional working moms to have both a successful career and be able to raise a happy family. And so that is sort of the impetus of what started CPA Moms back in 2008, actually. It was quite a while ago.
And you have a very unique value proposition. So I'd love to hear more about that as well. When someone signs up for becoming part of your franchise, tell us what that looks like.
Yeah, so I think our client is the CPA professional. And so our value proposition to our client, and we do have a value proposition to the marketplace as well, to their clients, in fact. But our value proposition to our client is a really complete ecosystem. We've invested an enormous amount of time in a lot of, we're calling them done-for-you services, everything from billing services, lead generation services, you know, there's lots of training and there's technology that we've custom built. There's just so much that we baked into the model that was really designed very specifically to fulfill the promise, the mission, which was to be able to create a model that could solve for the needs of having both a career and a family. And we feel like it takes more than just having some seminars and, you know, having a good motto that you use to really effectuate that kind of change in an industry that's been designed for the complete opposite outcome. We really felt like we looked at all the things that made it difficult to have both, and we tried to solve for each of those pain problems. We're not perfect, you know, we're always a work in process, and we're probably our harshest critics in how we accomplished this goal. But I will say that I'm deeply proud of the fact that we're even thinking about it as a design problem, that we're approaching it from a completely different methodology than what I've seen our industry. And personally, I think anything you give your attention to, that's what grows. And the fact that we've given attention and made it our mission and our purpose to create a model that produces a career and family has us leaps ahead of organizations that aren't even giving that any consideration. So that's our main value proposition. The fact that they can have both, but it's done inside of an ecosystem that has considered all the pieces that are required that make that outcome possible.
What we found so exciting and also really unique about CPA Moms is that you're building entrepreneurs.
We are.
In an industry that is not known for advancing women and the top tiers of the accounting firms, and as well, where women don't tend to open up their own businesses. And so I think what is very exciting and impressive is what you've done. Now, I'm sure there have been some challenges and lessons learned along the way. And so just for our audience today, what are some of the most important lessons that maybe you've learned in the last 10 years of building your own business at the same time as empowering other women to have it both work and family life?
I think that my list here was very long of things that I could share. So I'll take some of the top items. I would say, you know, this is not unique to women and non-binary professional and owners. It's really a problem that we see based on what stage most businesses are in. But when you're in the earlier stages, you know, the allocation of resources is so critical. It's so critical. And, you know, we're financial experts. I'm a financial expert. So my ability to manage cash flow and choose how we allocate resources, you know, I have the expertise to do so. Even with that, it's still difficult, because mm-hmm. there's so many places where you could see where you could deploy capital resources and see growth. And money is not the only resource that you have to allocate. It's time, it's energy, there's so many more things, your own especially. And so really being able to navigate and choose powerfully, and along with the choosing of how we allocate resources, the thing that is also something I've had to learn over the years to validate the choices that we make, knowing and trusting that the choice that we make in the moment is the best possible choice that we can make with the information we have at hand in that moment. And be prepared to make a lot of mistakes, make what may not have been the best choice in hindsight, and to be okay with it and make a new choice from wherever we land at that point. And I think the fear of making the wrong choice often prevents us from choosing at all. And I think one of the most important things that I do as a CEO is choose quickly. I have to take as much information as I can and make those decisions so that my team can move and be in action. So that's one big challenge and one big lesson, which gets easier as you grow in your capital resources, or you get, you know, access to capital wherever. Certainly our goal is to be operationally successful, but, you know, that's one of the big challenges. I think the other thing, and I find this certainly in the coaching and mentoring that we do with our franchise owners, as well as for my own self, and I have to listen to my own coaching a lot, is to make sure that we pay ourselves first. We have to pay ourselves. We have a tendency not to. We have 1,000 reasons and totally valid reasons to say that we need to pay our team, or we need to put money here in our business. We have to reinvest our money. But there's something that happens to us energetically, I find, that we can lose our inspiration for moving through whatever challenges or obstacles that we're faced with, and every entrepreneur has them. If we aren't paying ourselves sufficiently, it's like you wake up one day and you're like, well, why am I doing this? It's not even worth it anymore. If I'm not getting paid and I'm not, you know, and I'm dealing with all these challenges. And so it keeps us mentally engaged and willing to overcome the many, many challenges that we face. And in concert with that, I would say the other big one is holding higher standards. I have a saying that I say all the time, and I will say it to all of my franchise owners, and that is, we get what we tolerate. So if there's an outcome that we really don't want, a relationship that isn't working, then we have to challenge our own relationship to our own standards. And raising our standards and lowering what we are willing to tolerate in business, there's an element of maybe business ruthfulness. Not ruthful in a negative sense, but ruthful in a positive one. One that is protective of your company, your brand, your clients, your team. And I find that we maybe need to sharpen that saw a little bit more. I certainly do. And I think we have this conception of that being selfish in a negative connotation. And yet we have to start being more self-interested. And so I think, you know, I have more things that I can share, but I think those are the main ones that I would highlight that I deal with on a regular basis, on a personal level, and as I support and empower other women in the industry.
Mamie, you have a very big vision. I mean, you are the first to have created your kind of company, and with the goal of helping women and non-binary folks have a six-figure and more income, and at the same time have at least half of the time of that they're awake to raise their family. And in addition, what's next for you? What's next for CPA Moms? What's the bigger vision of what you'd like to accomplish since you've already achieved so much success with CPA Moms?
I would say our initial focus has been on, in a way, being a kind of accelerator for those looking to grow and become firm owners. We're actually now expanding into those that aren't looking to be, say, seven-figure firm owners, that really what they're looking for is that time, flexibility, and freedom, which is really the majority of professionals that we could serve. We chose to serve the smaller segment of the market first to really get the fuller offer together, and then sort of back into the more scaled down version, which has a larger market segment of the audience that we could serve, which may be backwards. I don't know. It depends on your theories on how you want to build and grow your business. I went for the higher paying clients, more hands-on, smaller volume first, and then growing to a more higher volume, lower price point, more scalable business second. So that's sort of, we're expanding the client base that we serve with limited offerings to serve more of the addressable market. And we're also looking to do more of the community building work that we just did a little teaser of. It was a vision of mine actually for over 10 years to do what we called our CARE conference. And it basically was, we did it in 2022, and we did it at the end of the pandemic. And the whole purpose was to bring professional working moms together, to pour back into them, provide them with care so they could fill their battery. It took such a toll on so many that we felt this was our opportunity to give back in a very significant way. It was my favorite event, my favorite activity that I have ever done inside of my now 15 years as the founder and CEO of CPA Moms. And we look to bring that in more live events, more live community engagements, not only for our broader CPA community and audience, but also for the entrepreneurs that they serve. And so that, and then we are looking to raise money beyond this initial fundraise to be able to expand and fulfill the bigger vision that we have for the next 5 years. And preparing ourselves to do that and building strategic partnerships that allow us to hack our way through some of the growth stages that we want to achieve, and looking at some of those partners to help us with that along the way. Those are really sort of in the immediate purview. The next year or two, I think our bigger visions were, you know, going global and all of those things, but there's so much to do right here in this market, and there's a lot of room and opportunity, and we don't ever have to leave the US market to grow into the fullest expression of this vision. And so that's what we're up to next. Lots to do, lots to create.
Well, we are so excited to have you as part of the Corliss community. And in closing, just we're curious about your experience with Corliss. How has this been for you in this last year, being part of our community?
Well, I didn't know exactly what to expect other than the capital piece of this. I knew there was an accelerator portion of it. I knew there was a community. And I understood that there was an intent to really support and empower women and non-binary entrepreneurs. But what my actual experience was far exceeded any imagined outcome. The mentoring has been some of the best I've ever experienced. And I have hired some of the best coaches and mentors, and I've done some of the best training that you can have as an entrepreneur for over 22 years, 23 years now that I've been an entrepreneur. And it is so personalized, so timely and relevant to what I'm addressing and dealing with right now, right here. There is always the fear when you're getting mentoring and support from the same source that provided capital to have a pretense of how you need to show up, having to always, like, you've got it all together. And I can very honestly say that, I mean, I've shown up in every possible state, inspired and elated all the way to tears and like desperate, you know, and everything in between. And I feel totally safe. There's so much trust and safety to be who you are so that you can actually get the support that you need. There's just this deep truth in wanting to support first and above everything else. And that is what comes through, whether it's the support of the operating team that's just there for whatever you need and connecting you with whoever you need, or the mentoring or the community. I mean, it's just such a supportive environment. I'm going to say that this is a karmic. We've done so much of this for our community that I've wanted this for myself. And so I'm just saying that I'm receiving, and just it's been extraordinary. And anyone who's ever considered being part of the Corliss Ventures community should 100% apply immediately, and know that, you know, if you are accepted, that it will alter the trajectory that you're on and provide you with the support that we all need at a very, very high level. So that's my two cents about my experience. It was awesome. It's been awesome, and it continues to be.
Well, you have made my day, absolutely, in hearing that. And also, I'm sure that everyone listening can't wait to have the opportunity to speak with you again. And thank you so much, Mayumi, for your time today. Your story is so inspiring. And we look forward to many years to come of a great relationship.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Ripples of Radical Generosity podcast. Let us know what you thought of the episode and share this podcast with your friends. We invite you to join a global community of radically generous women and non-binary folks at www.corliss.world.